Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
What does good health mean to you? I ask this question in the Facebook group because we're all out there, we're striving, we're trying to invest our money, we're trying to get a pay rise. We're trying to do the best thing that we can do to make our life better and have more money. And this podcast is a personal finance podcast. But without your health, what are you? What have you got? And I know a lot of you are going through chronic health conditions. I know a lot of you are in different seasons of your personal health. But this episode, it is actually here just to pause and almost like a PSA for everybody. Check yourself before you wreck yourself, all that stuff. Now, today on the podcast, I'm joined by Dr. Priya Shagan. She's the General Manager of Health Services at Tau. And a lot of you might be thinking, why have you got a doctor on from an insurance company? Well, the thing is, as you know, Tau is one of our show partners here at My Millennial Money. And the advantage of having an awesome large company is you have the advantage of calling upon such companies and having access to good people like Dr. Priya. Priya, welcome to My Millennial Money.
Thank you, Glenn. Good to be here.
All right, let's get into it. Priya, you're a medical practitioner. You're a doctor. I want to just first set the scene because this episode, it isn't about insurance. So I want everyone just to chill out for a second. We will cover some things about insurance and how it relates to what we are talking about, but this really is an episode to remind people that their health is more important than any investment portfolio that you've got. Your health is more important than any of your career goals. Your health is everything. And people who have been affected by ill health or family members that have been affected by ill health, it can really disrupt a lot of things. So, Priya, just the lay of the land, can you tell us a little bit about you as a person, as a professional, and a bit of a history 101 on Dr. Priya?
Thanks, Glenn. Absolutely. So I guess it all started a while back, and when I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I suppose my passion was around helping people. I always wanted to help people, and so medicine was a natural career choice, and I suppose when I embarked on that career, I started my career as a GP. And the reason I went into general practice was I really wanted to not only help people, but educate people. So it wasn't only about seeing people and helping them when they're unwell, but also use that interaction and that opportunity to actually provide education and help them with giving them advice on how to stay healthy. And I suppose being in that career for some time, it became quite frustrating. And I think, you know, many GPs or many individuals out there can identify with this in that GPs are very time poor. They don't have a lot of time. And so it is a bit of a conveyor belt system in that people in, people out. And so, there wasn't that time to have those good quality conversations. And I was always interested with that link between work and health and that interaction between those two. And so I suppose that led me to become interested and study further. And I ended up studying and working in occupational medicine. And that was really cool because I got to work within different workplaces and got a better understanding of that link between work and health. And what does that look like? So what sort of conditions impact people in a workplace and vice versa? What how do workplaces impact on people's health and well-being? Through some of the work that I did, I did join the world of life insurance. And for me, it was really fascinating because it was something that was new and that was a couple of years back. But I suppose as I started to work and learn about life insurance, the one thing that it was very clear was it all revolves around health. So even if you think about life insurance, it's around your health. It's around protecting your health and providing financial protection for when something goes wrong with your health. And so that felt like my home. And the reason I've been there for more than 15 years now is because what it does do is allows us to communicate with so many more people and provide that education. So, you know, life insurance sort of kicks into action when people become unwell at claim time, and that's really the core function of life insurance. But there's also opportunities to be engaging with our customers and talking and educating them about their health and how they can stay healthy.
Okay, I've got lots of questions. Number one, you talk about life insurance. A lot of people think life insurance is just death cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's an umbrella term, isn't it? Because if someone is deceased, well, they don't need you. But I just wanted to say, probably more of a FYI, everybody, when we talk about life insurance, we are talking about disability insurance. We are talking about income insurance. We are talking about trauma insurance. So I think
very true, Glenn. And yeah. I think that's a common misconception is particularly for your listenership in terms of millennials. I think a lot of people are, you know, don't take an interest in life insurance because that's exactly what they think. It's about when I die and I'm in my 20s or 30s and I'm not going to die. So, you know, why should I be interested? But, you're correct. It is about living benefits and protecting your income for when you're working. And that's, as you said, income protection, total and permanent disability, and then trauma cover, obviously, for those unforeseen life events that happen.
Now, I don't want to talk this whole episode about insurance because I do want to talk about health, and I want this to be a reminder for people to get a checkup if they need to, or if they haven't seen their doctor in a million years, or if they don't have a doctor. I've got a friend, Dirty Mike, what up? He probably wouldn't know what a doctor is, and he's probably 40 in about 10 minutes, and he's never been to a doctor. So, you know, this is for you, Dirty Mike. But two things before we move on to the health stuff. Before we hit record, and before we got started, you said you'd moved several countries. Tell us about your journey and all these countries. What was all that about?
Yeah, good. Oh, very interesting. So I started my journey in South Africa. So grew up and schooled there, studied there, did my undergrad there. And then after that, I think like many South Africans, there's a desire to earn foreign currency. And so my journey led me to the UK because I could continue to work in the UK. And I suppose my passion at that stage was pediatrics. I was really interested in working with children and did some jobs there. However, there were probably other things that other people had in mind. And I ended up moving to Italy and lived in Italy for 4 years. And I suppose during that time, kept on connected to the medical world and went back and forth to the UK. And I suppose, you know, bringing it back to health, and I suppose looking at health systems in different countries and how people experience that. And I suppose what people's perceptions and behaviors and cultural practices. And I suppose even bringing that back to an Australian community where we do have a very diverse population. And what does that mean in terms of, you know, it's not a one size fits all approach. Mm. And everyone's going to identify and resonate with different messaging and different approaches. So I suppose just in terms of the journey, that travel sort of dynamic continued. And we, after Europe, we moved back to South Africa. We then had an amazing opportunity to live in Rwanda, in East Africa, for 4 years in Kigali. That was amazing. You know, a country that is developing at an exponential rate. I mean, they've got telehealth, they've got mobile clinics. So despite being a very resource poor country, the little that they do have, they use optimally. And so that was an amazing country and environment to be exposed to. We then did a shorter stint in South Africa and then been in Australia for the last sort of close to six years now.
I think it's fascinating. Like, I've only ever lived in Australia, and I'm of the view that, look, if you have a medical crisis and you need to go to the public hospital, on balance, you're going to get in, you're going to get hooked up. Given your experience with different countries around the world, like, what's your view of the Australian health system at the moment?
You are very fortunate in Australia to have the health system that we do. I mean, in terms of resources, facilities, access to care, and Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
In a majority of countries that I've lived in and worked in, there is no social health system. So the public health facilities that people resort to are of resource poor, don't have the expertise that you would expect. And it's not a good situation. Whereas I suppose if you look at a country like Australia, where access to primary health care is almost a given for the majority of the population, the level of service and the level of care and the level of cover that people have is extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, there you go, everyone. You know, is it perfect? Probably not. Is it better than a lot of other places? Probably.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, okay. That's just setting the scene of a bit of the vibe of Dr. Priya. Now, you work for an insurance company. You were the CMO at TAL, Chief Medical Officer. Why do insurance companies employ doctors?
Good question, Glenn. So, interestingly, I was the first full-time in-house Chief Medical Officer at TAL, and I started in 2016. And if I look at where we are now as a business, we now employ 8 full-time doctors. So you asked, why do we have a doctor within a life insurer? I suppose when we think about what do life insurers do is they provide financial protection for when something goes wrong with people's health. And so health is really a key factor in terms of us looking after our customers' health. And for us to be able to do that, and as your listeners may be aware, I know you do amazing podcasts and you've probably covered life insurance, is if we look at our life insurance journey, we as organizations, we develop products. Within those products, we have definitions. We have medical definitions. We have financial definitions. So it's really important that we understand or make ensure that our definitions are accurate, that they're updated. And that's one of the functions that a CMO does, is reviewing those definitions on a regular basis and working with not just doctors within our organization, but working with our external health community to make sure that we are aligned with the latest medical technology, advances, definitions that are happening, and align to what our customers expect also. Mm. We also need to make sure that they're easy for customers to understand and that they're easy for our teams to assess and that we have consistency in the way we apply them. The next phase of, I suppose, moving on from product is we develop products and we sell them to customers. And our customers, some of our customers will go through an underwriting process. And underwriting essentially is the way that we assess risk. And so our underwriters will look at a variety of different types of information. There'll be medical information, occupational, financial information. And so it's important that they understand and are able to interpret and analyze that. And how do we make it easier to make sure that they are able to do that in an accurate way and a fair way for our customers? One of the things that I would do as a chief medical officer is help with some of those more complex cases. You know, there's a lot of information that comes to an underwriter. And what we know with health is it doesn't sit in neat little boxes. So a person might have a variety of different conditions. And I suppose what we would help with is how do those relate to each other? And I suppose when we're assessing risk, how do those interact with each other? And so that's one of the things that a CMO, a medical officer, would be helping underwriters with, is to look at those conditions collectively in a holistic way and looking at what that means overall. And I think for life insurance, we're always looking to be inclusive. So we want to make sure that we're not just pulling out one factor, but we actually are considering that individual as a whole and assessing risk in a holistic way.
You talked about making sure that you were still had the finger on the pulse and, you know, looking at outside of insurance land to see what modern medicine is doing. Mm. In my experience, and just over the last 15 years, when I started as a financial advisor and we might place an insurance policy with somebody and there might be an issue, might be high cholesterol or blood pressure or something like that, and the book said that this condition needs to be loaded and you need to pay more. Now, over time, things can change because those conditions back then that may have been loaded or, you know, excluded now can be accepted at normal rates because of the stuff that you do and your team does. Is that a fair statement?
Very true, yeah.
What I want to do, I want to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and talk about how people should consider looking at their health. We're going to read a heap of comments that you said in the Facebook group, everyone who's listening. But I just from a personal note, just around the doctor at the insurance company thing, quote unquote, is just to give you an idea that, you know, when I teach, you know, have insurance as part of your sound financial house, it's a very serious thing to protect you, the individual. And when you go through an underwriting process, it's a very serious thing. And if you've got health issues, the insurer will actually look at that with the degree of effort that it deserves to look at to see if they can offer you terms based on your current health history. And it's probably just a note for those who may have been declined 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago and you still have a need for protection in your life. Go back to an advisor and say, look, this happened 10 years ago. So I don't think it's all lost, particularly the way things are heading. So we'll be right back after this.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click get help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers, and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As you can see, a lot goes into the background behind insurance with your medical history, and having a good team of doctors in an insurance company is actually what you want as part of your underwriting process. Because this is the whole thing with computers and technology. At this point, computers can't make an on-balance call, and real people with experience in the world can.
So just to add to that, Glenn, in addition to our team of doctors, we also have a team of forensic accountants.
Oh, gosh.
So again, you know, similar to medical complexity, as you would know, there's a lot of financial complexity in terms of sort of multiple entities, single entities, you know, different business structures. So that's the other thing that we have is a team of accountants within our team, because our team is aligned to sort of medical, physical and financial health. And so it's quite unique. So the TEL structure is quite unique compared to other insurance. In similar vein, you know, there's a lot of complexity, which I think many customers wouldn't know, you know, the complexity. And so I suppose having professionals that actually can make sure that what we do is done in an accurate way by the right level of professionalism is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. What does good health mean to you? Well, in the Facebook group, Danielle Perry said, good health isn't just the absence of infirmity or disease. It's a holistic picture of physical, mental, emotional, and social well-being, including financial health, maintaining good relationships, you know, either platonic or familial. How do you say that word?
Familial.
Familial or romantic. Access to education or employment opportunities. The list goes on. Mary Callahan, physically having the energy and stamina to do most things without feeling so drained after it, mentally being able to cope and handle stresses, having a clear mind and a positive mindset. Sam Betton, for me personally, good health relates to four key areas, which are physical, nutrition, mental and social. Teresa Borton, access to diagnostic equipment. That's a big concern. She said her closest pet machine is 500 kilometers away. So that's a big thing. Jessie Townsend said good health means to her that it's one of her core values and it means a lot of little things. Physical health, mental health, exercising 5 times a week, being in the sun and outdoors, fasting, eating healthy meals, avoiding the snacks. I mean, there's lots of feedback in there of what good health means. But how should we be actually looking at holistic health? And when I got, you know, your comments around what your view was before this episode, I saw the H word, holistic. And sometimes it gives me the heebie-jeebies because it's like, well, we've got five different stones in that corner and a candle there and it's all wacko stuff. But it's actually, it doesn't mean that, does it, surely?
No, and I think it means different things to different people also. I suppose for me, the word holistic talks to the linkages between those different components. I think your first comment you read out from Danielle, that's the World Health Organization definition of health. So that interaction between physical, mental and social, which I suppose within my world, we've sort of tagged on financial into that because they are all linked. So I suppose if you think of, I like to use the pandemic example. So I suppose if you use COVID as an example, I mean, that's a perfect example of the interaction of those dynamics. Because if you think we have a virus which is impacting on your physical health, when we think last 1 to 2 years, we had restrictions imposed globally, and that had a significant impact on people's financial health as well as their mental health. So, you know, it, and I suppose you could take any scenario of, you know, person being diagnosed with cancer and the impact that has on your finances as well as your mental health. So I think for me, holistic is really looking at all of those and the interconnectedness because they all are very much linked to each other.
We talk about this holistic health and all these different pillars, and there might be listeners thinking, oh, it's okay. Nothing will really happen to me. It hasn't before. I know as we're younger, we think that we're bulletproof and it's all good. Mm. As we get older, we see friends and family go through things. It does kind of, for me, the holistic health and being at balance in all these different areas, the preventative angle does come into it, doesn't it? So as a bit of a 101, you know, how can we approach this health space? For someone listening thinking, well, I think I'm healthy. Do I need to do anything? Like any words of wisdom for them?
And I think, yeah, when you're healthy, you don't think about what might happen in the future. You know, you're in your 20s and 30s, everything's going well, you're out and about and you're getting on with things. But I think that age is really important to start this focus on understanding your health and what you need to be considering, because typically this is the age group where things start to develop. You know, we think of the word chronic disease. That's what typically people in their 40s and 50s start getting the diagnosis of. And so within this age range of, you know, people in their 20s and 30s, when you're feeling like you're invincible and you can do everything, it's a really good start to take an interest in getting checked. So we hear the term health literacy a lot. Mm. And I suppose, you know, when you break that down, what is it? Because what we find is there's so much information out there. There's so much, you know, confusing, complicated information, different fads, different, you know, new things out there. And it can be sometimes quite overwhelming to know what is real, what you trust. So I think having access to good, credible sources of information is really important. So evidence-based information. And the purpose of having that access to information is being able to make decisions based on that information. So I would say that's the first step is, you know, making sure that you have access to good information. I mean, the government health websites are a great resource in terms of having that, you know, good evidence-based information, which is credible. The next step is getting checked, you know, going for a check and getting those basic parameters. And it's not complicated. It's things like your height and your weight, your blood pressure, your blood glucose. And there's actually, so doctors will have a little Bible, what they refer to as the Red Book. And that essentially is a guide based on your gender and age, what sort of tests are appropriate for you based on where you are in your journey. And so it's a really good place to start is booking in a consult. I think finding a GP that you identify with and that knows you is always a good start also, is going in and having that conversation. And they'll be able to look at things like your family history, because often some of these conditions are don't just develop in you.
Okay, I'll tell you a wild story, and this is unsolicited advice to anyone out there. Ask if you're in a position to, ask your parents if they have any ongoing health issues, just so you know. Because I shared on a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I'll tell you and anyone who hasn't listened to the episode, just so you're aware. I went for some wrist surgery, carpal tunnel release last year. I was at the hospital, blood pressure machine, in the kind of check-in thing with the nurse. She's like, oh, you've got high blood pressure. She said, oh, it's probably just, you know, nervous or white coat. And because I'd had lots of ankle operations and other procedures, I like don't get nervous. And I'm like, oh, I might go to my doctor because I'm not nervous. If my blood pressure is high here, I can tell you there's, you know, there's an issue. Went to the doctor. He checked and he said, you've got high blood pressure. I need you to track it for, you know, this was in January. He's like, I need you to track it for a month and come back. And he said, oh, do your parents have high blood pressure? I said, nah, I think maybe my uncle or something, but nah, mum and dad are cool, no issues. Anyway, didn't bother checking it. Like, I started to, then lost track, and it was at the high side of, well, the low side of high, type of that, you know, 140 over 90 type, well, we need to look at this type thing. Anyway, went back to get a script filled, and I actually asked my parents, are you on high blood pressure medication? And mum texts back, she's on 4 medications and dad's on 3. So there's a categorical family history of high blood pressure. Yep. And my GP said, look, for you, the house isn't on fire now, but you need to be aware of this stuff. He put me on the scales. He said, you got to lose some weight, mate. Like, your BMI's like too high. I'm being dramatic and paraphrasing for the sake of entertainment, but I did make him laugh. I'm like, so what are you saying? Eat less and move? He's like, yes. But it was just one of those things, like, and maybe you could talk to this thing that if you haven't been to the doctor for at least a checkup in the last, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Three?
I'd say two to three years, you know, just book it in.
Book it in.
Book it in.
Because the high blood pressure, this is the thing, for me, it's not causing me any symptoms.
You're not going to feel it. You're not going to feel it. Even if you have a borderline high glucose, you're not going to feel it. So these are things that are silent, you know, they're, you're just not going to sense it.
Yeah.
But if you test for it, it will get picked up. And look, even to make it easier, you know, if there's that fear of going to the doctor, a lot of pharmacies now also do screening tests. So I think the benefit and the value of seeing a doctor is having that more holistic approach, and they have the time and they can request pathology tests and request additional investigations if you need to go for that.
Yeah.
And also that second point in time. So if you need to go back, when that needs to be and what do you need to do?
So this is so important because, you know, if my blood pressure, if I didn't get on top of it and I like to think I've got a good relationship with my GP because I'm on and people know this, they've listened, I'm on Effexor for anxiety, which I need to go and get that. I'm on Somac for reflux. And it's fascinating, like, I'm well aware, everyone, you know, I've got to change some habits here because if you look at the blood pressure, the effect of the Somac for reflux, like, a lot of this, like, would actually probably go away if I lost 10 kilos or but this is the thing. It's all habits and behaviors.
Yes.
And what I did with my GP, I said to him, look, I'm the type of person that needs accountability. So I said to him, I'm going to come back every month and show you my recorded blood pressure because he said, I don't want to medicate you because it's borderline and I think we can get it down with diet and exercise. So what I've kind of had, I've had this like come to Jesus moment with my health that, oh crap, I'm old now and, you know, I actually have to be on top of this. Like, it's just wild, right? So I'm just such a fan of everyone having a good relationship with their GP. But there's the correlation there of personal finance. Like for me, yeah, I can save money. I can, you know, have a good budget. I can't do my health. That's why I need this encouragement where some other people are really good with their health and struggle with the money side.
And you need both.
Yes.
You need both because they definitely relate to each other. I mean, just, you know, what you've done and what you've just sort of illustrated is that importance of having that conversation and that relationship with your doctor. I mean, we were talking about parents and obviously you at a young age being aware of these risk factors. So I think when you think in the longer term, Australians have a really long life expectancy. So we're living for longer and longer. So if you think about, you know, your high blood pressure that's not identified and not managed, if that doesn't get managed in the long term, what's your risk? Your risk is that you're likely to have a heart attack, you're likely to have a stroke. So despite you living for longer, you also got to consider your quality of life and what sort of life are you going to have in those later years and what sort of life do you want to have? And I suppose that ties into in terms of financial health and what are you going to need when you are in the position that you may have a, one or two or three chronic conditions.
It's funny because I've been talking about this thing lately and I said it to my dad because he's needs to retire now. And I know a lot of you listening aren't at retirement age. And he texted me the other day because he's 66, you know, they've got the money, he can retire. And he goes, oh, I've just been offered a job. It's a 6-month role doing this manual thing in Port Macquarie, really good money. I wrote back to him and said, at what cost? And I think a lot of us need to really think about that. At what cost are you doing the overtime? Might get more money in the bank and you might have to for a short period of time to pay off some debt, but long term,
what the impact is going to
the striving in your career and your mental health, and we'll talk about mental health, but at what cost do you ignore your health?
And I mean, you think about your retirement, so you know, what do you want to do in your retirement? You don't want to be sitting in a wheelchair or sitting in hospitals. It's really taking that long-term view in terms of quality and life and I suppose living a healthy life and living a healthy retirement also.
So again, let's just continue the PSA on preventative health. What else could someone be checking if they haven't been to a GP for a couple of years?
So cancer is a big one. And I suppose if I can talk a little bit about skin cancer, it's one of the commonest cancers. And I think the important thing to know about skin cancer is it's one that's actually quite easy to detect and prevent. So we have a Tell Spot Checker campaign that we run. What that is around is creating awareness around skin cancer and also encouraging people to check their skin. So it's really important, I think, with any of these prevention sort of things is checking yourself and knowing what's normal for yourself, and particularly with skin cancer. You know, your skin is something that you see every day. And so really encouraging people to know their spots and check their spots. And if there are any changes, to go and get a professional skin check. And I suppose when you think, why is this important? Because if you pick it up early, first of all, it's much easier to treat. And your prognosis is so much better if you pick these things up early.
At the start of COVID, at the start of 2020, and if you've been listening for a while, you've heard this story, but there's heaps of new listeners and Pri hasn't heard this, so gather around, children. At the start of 2020, I had this gut feeling that I need to go get a skin check. Don't know why, just got to get a skin check. COVID hit, lockdowns. I'm like, oh, stuff going to the bloody doctor. And that was half the thing, right, with the lockdowns. Diagnoses went down because people weren't going to the doctor, right? And I was that, like, oh, stuff going to the bloody doctor. There's, you know, masks and all that at the time. Anyway, in July, I still had this thing. I've got to go and get my skin checked. Don't know why. Anyway, went and got my skin checked. Doctor said, oh, this thing's weird on your leg. Oh, I'll take it and send it. He took the thing out of my leg and he said, oh, I'll just send this off. And I said, oh, can you get this thing out of my face? Well, he goes, oh, I don't have time, but do you want to come back next week? So I booked in to come back next week. Anyway, I go back to the doctor and sit down and she's got the bed. She's like, all right, just pull your jeans up. I said, oh no, he took that last week. I'm here to get my face thing done. And she went, oh, anyway, he came in. He then told me, he goes, oh, it was actually a melanoma in your leg. So he says, I've got to now take a big chunk. And there was like 18 stitches that they took out of my leg. And it scared the crap out of me because he said to me that gut feeling you had may have saved your life, because if that melanoma went vertical,
exactly,
the show's over, statistically, right?
Yep.
So it was just a real wake-up call to me.
Mm.
I'm just like a walking thing waiting to happen, aren't I? Like, it's just wild.
But you, first of all, you've done some really good things, Glenn. I mean, you've been to your doctor. You've gotten your blood pressure picked up. Your doctor's done the right thing and educated you regarding lifestyle changes, which you've made. You've gotten your skin checked. You know, you're doing all the right things.
I had him laughing because I said, you're fat shaming me, telling me to exercise.
But you're on the right track. So, you know, I think, and that literally, that skin check could have saved your life.
I want to talk about breast cancer for the women and men listening. Mm. I heard a story the other day, someone I knew, he was a male that was diagnosed with breast cancer. So it's not just for women, but it is more likely in women. For those listening, how, like, just give us a 101 preventative breast cancer thingy. Like, what are we doing?
You're checking yourself.
Yeah.
So you're examining your breasts on a regular basis. And like I said before, it's getting to know what's normal for you. So when we think of breast screening services at a national level, there's mammograms that are available to women over the age of 50. And so you're encouraged to see your doctor and book that in once you reach 50. You can access that from the age of 40. Sadly, though, we are seeing breast cancer diagnoses in women under the age of 40. So we've definitely seen an uptick in terms of new breast cancer diagnosis in younger women. And I suppose if you think about it, those women are not eligible for mammograms at that age. Mm. So checking yourself is really important. So the majority of women who are under that age range have picked up their lumps through either examination, when they're in the shower or dressing themselves, or even by a partner. So really important to check yourself on a regular basis.
Mm.
And then if you feel anything that doesn't feel quite right, is to get that checked out.
And just like a lot of people, and I want to draw parallels when I was a financial advisor, people would be scared to go to a financial advisor because I'd say, I didn't want to come, Glenn, because I've got all this debt. I didn't want to come because I don't have as much saving. Like for me, I just encourage anyone to come and have a chat, and there's no shame to come with whatever financial situation you've got. Likewise, in the medical world, I would say there is absolutely zero shame.
There's no judgment.
And no judgment. So if you are worried.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I had to, if you want to get real wild, everyone, and it's awkward, but I had some testicular pain and went to the doctor, and I was freaking out because I'm like, oh, that's weird. But it was just business as usual. It's like, oh, yeah, we check this, do that. And they go, yeah, it can happen, and it goes away. See you later. Like, for me, that was like so – and it's embarrassing to say it now, but I'm putting myself on the altar for those who are feeling nervous about stuff.
And it is a personal thing. So, obviously, going to a doctor and speaking about something that's personal is difficult. And I suppose mental health is one of those areas where people might feel that they're struggling and not know who to talk to. So, I mean, we'd really encourage people to reach out and talk to your doctor, because you know, there's so much support that is out there. So, it's a first step, and it sometimes can be scary, but taking that first step is so important in terms of being on the right path.
And I will say, like, if you do, for example, have an issue and you want to go to your GP and they send you for imaging, you can actually call the imaging place and request either a male or female, and that's okay. I just think you're allowed to do whatever makes you comfortable, because at the end of the day, the medical world, you guys don't care. And this was the whole thing, like, there was a comment, and I'll just read it because I want to acknowledge it. But what I did, I saw this, and in light of Tao being our show partner, there's a question here, and I'll read it, and then I'll say what's going to go down. And this is anonymous. I don't know if it's in the scope of the episode, but I'd love to hear some critical discussion around mental health care, e.g. mental health care plans, medications, therapy, and how it impacts insurance. I understand that if you're receiving a treatment, then it's a pre-existing condition and impacts insurance. But wouldn't it be worse for overall health outcomes not to be actively managing one's mental health? Now, I read that, and in line with obviously TAL being our show partner and being an insurance company, I want to do a dedicated episode on mental health. So I've run it up the flagpole with TAL and said, let's get somebody on. I'm getting Glenn Baird, the head of mental health from TAL, and we'll do a whole episode about mental health, guys. So I don't want to just brush over this because this is its own thing. But just in line with the mental health, when I first received my diagnosis, what stopped me from being treated was the fear about telling the doctor. And I went to the doctor at the time, Warnervale GP Superclinic, my old doctor, Stephen Green, went to him. And I said, oh, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that, I'm just flat. I was almost in tears telling him. And I expected him to be like, oh, that's weird, you freak. Like, that's not normal, Glenn. But he was like, oh, cool, well, let's just do this. He goes, you might have a bit of depression. Like, and he said it like, you might have a bit of depression. No different than, oh, you've got this. Like, so I want this to be an encouragement around this preventative health thing, that if you don't think something's right, either physically in your body, you might feel a lump, you might notice something, or if you don't feel like you're happy all the time. And Priya, like for the mental health thing, one of the things with me was all the external things in my life. I was living in my brand new house that I wanted in my dream suburb. I had all the time in the world. I had lots of money. All these physical things in my life were the envy of a lot of people, but I still felt like rubbish and I was done with life. So that was when I'm like, oh, hang on, something's got to be wrong because I've got it all, quote unquote. I should not be feeling this way. So do you want to make any comments on the mental health thing from a practitioner or a preventative lens before we move on?
So recently in the last few weeks, they started releasing results of the census that was done in Australia 2021. And interestingly, they had a new question on chronic conditions in Australia. And so mental health was actually the top chronic condition in Australia, which is probably not surprising when you think of timing of the census. And if you think of not only just in Australia, but globally, we're seeing definitely an increase in diagnoses of mental health conditions. And there are probably a couple of reasons for that. Some of them are good, I suppose, in terms of people feeling comfortable talking about this, which is really important because I think you can often go and struggle quietly and you know, nobody, you don't feel comfortable talking to people and it doesn't get addressed. So I think the fact that people are becoming more aware, more comfortable, having more avenues to talk about it, there's just less stigma. And so that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. So people feeling comfortable talking about it. And I mean, you talked about obviously speaking to your GP, and yes, GPs have seen it all and we see it all. So, you know, nothing really is going to faze your doctor. It's really important just to reach out and talk to somebody. And maybe the first step isn't always your doctor, but it's really taking that first step and reaching out to somebody. There's a variety of resources that are available out there. We've actually developed something called a Health Connector, which is, you know, available on our website, but it's free for anyone to use.
We might put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's called the Telehealth Connector because what we became aware of is there's so many resources which are free within in the community, which people have access to. And so you want a one-stop shop in terms of where do you go to find what are those good resources to use. So if people make their way to our website, you know, they can look up Telehealth Connected will come up. You can just put in your condition and where you live and it will come up with a whole range of resources within your community that you can access free of charge.
So I want to finish up and maybe talk about some chronic conditions and things that may compound. And for me, you know, my BMI, quote unquote, says that it needs to be a lower number. And we did talk about the things that we can't see. Like it might be blood pressure, or, you know, we can't see, you might have a melanoma that you can't see, but a doctor would know what it was. The things that we can see in our lives, like I can see that I've got a bit of a tummy, right? I can see that, I don't know, or I know that I'm not well or depressed. Like, maybe can we bring it home with how do we prevent things from compounding? And are there some basic things that our listeners can take away from today and start to implement in their life to actually have a good health prevention plan in their own life?
So there are probably two things you can do. The first is obviously what can you do for yourself? And I suppose this relates to whether you can see it or you can't see it. There's a couple of basic principles which, you know, definitely encourage everyone to follow. And these are not new and they may sound really boring, but they really are. They're so important. It's moving more. It's really incorporating physical activity into your day, however you do that. And I suppose, you know, not everyone is going to be a gym bunny and sign up to go to the gym, but that could look different for everybody. And it's all good. It's just moving more. The second one is obviously being conscious of what you're eating. And so, you know, processed foods are not a good thing. Added sugar is not a good thing. So, you know, keep your diet natural. Lots of fruits, vegetables, proteins. Just eat real food. Real food that's not packaged in plastic. And then the third one is sleep. I think people underestimate the value of sleep and good quality sleep and how that is so important in terms of our minds being clear and fresh and being able to function. And the impact that has on your overall health is good sleep. So those are some of the things that we can do for ourselves and staying healthy. And then the second part is really how do we interact with the healthcare system? So I think typically in Australia, our healthcare system is designed to treat people who are unwell, but we can change that. So I think in terms of how we engage with our healthcare providers, and we talked a lot about, you know, seeing your GP, developing that relationship, going in for those regular checks, and building that into your preventative healthcare plan, I think is a really good place to start.
It's so fascinating because in the money world, everyone wants to get rich quick. Everyone wants to have a portfolio and retire tomorrow. But there are some basic fundamentals where we have to systematically spend less than what we earn and invest the rest on an ongoing basis. Now, that's boring. And you just told us to just do some exercise, to see GP. All this is boring stuff, but it compounds in a good way, right? So let me ask you, what do you think health looks like in the future?
It's really interesting. There is so much technology that's happening in the health space at the moment. But I think overall, what the direction in which it's going is better understanding our own risks and our own lifestyle factors. So, I mean, something we already are using and we're probably all very familiar with is tracking devices. So we think everyone has a smartphone, and you might be aware, you may not, but your smartphone is actually tracking a lot of things about you. It picks up your sleep. It can pick up your heart rate, your respiratory rate. You know, a lot of people are using watches, smart watches now, which will tell you to take a breath, breathe to reduce anxiety. So I think already, you know, we're starting to see a great focus on people just being aware of their own behavior and what they need to do to modify that. And what does that look like? And that extends, I suppose, into the genetic world. People often think genetics is about, you know, picking up diseases. And yes, it does do that. But also we all have our own genetic makeup and that influences what potentially we as individuals need may be different in terms of how we stay well. So there's a much stronger focus in terms of that personalized approach. And I suppose that extends to a treatment space also. So when we're looking at what does treatment for conditions look like, it is going down to that genetic and individual level to understand what treatment a person may respond to based on their underlying makeup. So it's really exciting. I mean, there's a lot of really amazing advances happening out there, but it really, there's a very strong focus in terms of staying healthy and on that prevention aspect.
I've enjoyed this chat because coming into it, I didn't know kind of what the main takeaways were going to be. But for me, it has been just a PSA for people to get a checkup. Like, this is basic stuff. it has been that thing around the fear and the anxiety about going to see a doctor. Like, it's okay. And honestly, this is wild. If you're actually worried about going to a doctor, can you take a close sibling or friend with you? Just for that moral support, like, that's totally okay, right? And they've seen it all. I mean, I went to the urologist and he said, get on the bed, and he put on a rubber glove. And I'm like, what the hell? I mean, it's just business as usual for these doctors, honestly. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And it's just not a big deal. They do it day in, day out. And I just want to, yeah, everyone, we're all just bags of chemicals and blood and bones. And one other thing that I'm gleaning from this episode and the discussions, like you said earlier on, like evidence-based. Now, this is so important with our money. Don't just do something because some blogger or me said it on a podcast. Go to a GP yourself and get treatment and consultation based on you personally in a closed room. Because like for me, if I went on some blog and they said, oh, you don't need anxiety medication, just exercise and eat your greens, it's not working for me. I'm sorry. I'm taking those pills to the grave at the moment. So I think it's okay to be on medication for stuff. And I think it's okay if your treatment plan is a lifestyle thing, because everything is so personal, right?
And don't just be a Dr. Google.
Don't be a Dr. Google. But it is important to understand.
Exactly.
But
when it comes to, you know, getting advice, is go and see a professional.
Yeah. Priya, was there anything that you wanted to add before we finish?
Yeah, Glenn, I've talked a lot about evidence-based, and so I thought it might be useful just to share some of that evidence and talk through some of the stats. Breast cancer is an interesting one, and we talked about young women being diagnosed with breast cancer. So the stat on that is actually quite alarming. So we've got 3 women under 40 who are diagnosed with breast cancer every day. So that is concerning, and that's why it's so important for young women particularly to check themselves, get to know their breasts, and if they feel anything abnormal, to go and get that checked with their doctor. I suppose some of the other interesting stats are around chronic conditions. So chronic conditions, we're definitely seeing an increase in Australia, a rise in the diagnosis of those. I think the latest information shows that 47% of Australians have one or more chronic conditions. We've spoken about BMI, so 2/3 of Australians are classified as overweight or obese, which is really not good news, because I suppose obesity is one of those major risk factors for developing chronic diseases like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, musculoskeletal conditions, as well as some types of cancers. And I suppose if we look at what is underlying all of that, it really does come down to those basics of poor diet, not enough physical activity. So I'd really like to encourage your listeners to follow those basic principles in terms of moving more, eating well, and getting enough sleep.
Awesome. Dr. Priya Shagan, General Manager of Health Services at TAO, thank you so much for coming on My Millennial Money.
Thank you. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
We acknowledge the Awabakal people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast. My Millennial Money supports a variety of charities, and we encourage you to consider giving as part of your overall financial strategy. If you would like some giving options, or if you're unsure about which charity you can support, head to mymillennial.money/charities for more info. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.